This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
What's up, All Things Covered listeners? It's B-Mac, and we're back in your feed with another bonus episode this week. If you listened to the podcast before, you know about Pat's love for the show, Ridiculousness. So we gave him the chance to be a fan for once, and we welcome our latest guest, Chanel Westcoast. If you missed it, check out our conversation from earlier this week with Brandon Marshall or any of our previous episodes. Enjoy, and don't forget to subscribe and leave a 5-star review.
Yo, 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 we'd like to welcome Chanel Westcoast, the TV personality of shows Rob Dyrdek, Fantasy Factory, and also one of my favorite shows, Ridiculousness.
Yes,
my
you know you love that show, Pat.
No doubt about it. Also, she appeared on Love & Hip Hop Hollywood. She also just released her debut album named America's Sweetheart, which you can stream everywhere.
Everywhere.
What's up, Chanel?
What's up?
First of all, Chanel, I got to talk about that laugh because my daughter, when you laugh on TV, that cracks my daughter up.
I'm happy to hear that because I get a lot of haters on my laugh too, you know, but I think the kids love it, and so that says a lot, because kids are very honest, you know?
Right.
The kids love it, and kids, you know, they really have, like, big hearts, and I think it says a lot that the kids like it, and it says a lot that it's usually old grumpy people who are hating on it.
They say old people usually not happy, so it makes sense, right?
Yep. No doubt about it.
Well, Chanel, you got a new album you just dropped in October, long time coming, but tell us a little bit about the new album and how excited you are, you know, finally being able to get this project out to the public, and what do you expect to receive when it comes to reviews and people just, you know, listening to the album?
First of all, I'm really excited to just put out an album that it took a lot of work. I had to listen to a lot of different opinions. You know, I've always got people in my ear like, you should do this, you should do that, you know, maybe rap more, sing more, be sexier, this and that. And so it took a long time to really just kind of block everybody out, focus on what I wanted to do. And I think I got a really good body of work here that, you know, it's something that I think a lot of different people can listen to. You know, it's hip hop, it's rap, but there's still pop. There's love songs, songs about unity. And I think people are going to listen to it and be surprised. I think I've had a lot of, you know, resistance and hate, as especially as a white girl rapper. So I think people are going to listen to it and finally, like, get it. You know what I mean?
I'm not going to lie, Chanel. I listened to it 2 days ago. I was fucking surprised.
Thank you.
I was surprised off the fact that, because I didn't expect you to have a singing track on this. That No Plans. Yeah, you brought it with No Plans. I thought No Plans was a banger for sure.
So No Plans, that's your favorite one, Pat?
Yeah, on the track. I mean, I like No Plans. I like the 40-yard dash. I think it was one called 4 a.m. or something like that, 4 something.
Nope. I like it like 4 a.m. because that one is dedicated to my ex, so thank you.
Oh, you put your ex on blast. Are you going to name drop your ex? Or you?
No, name dropping.
No name dropping.
Yeah. You know, the song.
Speaking of the song 40-yard dash, you know, what inspired that title? And also, can you give us a little sneak into the video, right, of the song 40-yard dash, a little sneak peek into the video?
Yes. So it's funny because when I heard the beat, like, I literally was like, okay, I know exactly what I want to talk about on this beat. Like, I just want to talk about, like, I run this shit.
Yeah.
And so I was like, I was working with my boy in the studio, and I was like, I run it. Like, I run the shit. Like, I was like, I need to say I run it, like, literally, I run this shit more than anybody. He's like, you run this shit like a 40-yard dash. And I was like, that's it. So my boy kind of helped me, inspire me, and then I wrote it. But yeah, so he helped me with that. And I was like, yo, like, I love it. You know, I was a cheerleader in high school, and I was always around football and sports. And my mom's always been, like, a big fan of sports, too. So I felt like it was very fitting for me. And I have a fan base. Like, I got a lot of guy followers. So, like, we love football, you know? So I was like, this makes sense to do a song that the guys are really going to like to listen to as well. Because it's hard for guys to get into female hip-hop, I think. Like, guys are more embarrassed to be rolling by themselves, bumping, like, WAP. but, like, you know, I think a guy can ride by himself in the car and bump a song like 40 Yard Dash. You know what I mean?
Yeah. And you got to think about it, too. When it comes to female artists, you got to have songs that – guys can bump in the car when another guy is in the car.
Right, like the example you just said, I don't
think you're going to see two guys riding in the car listening
not
to WAP. I'm not going to be riding next to Pat. We're going to be in the same car. We're going to be listening to WAP. Now, I don't think we're going to do that, Pat.
No, we ain't.
So, good point.
Yeah, no doubt about it. So how is your relationship with Young Money if you are currently still signed with them?
No, I'm not. It's a complicated thing. Actually, there's a lot of complicated stuff with that. And I don't like to get like too into it because it's a very long story. But to make it short, I had a great chance, opportunity to meet Wayne in the past, play him my music. He loved it. He wanted to work with me. And from that point, it was a lot of just people in the way. I don't even think Wayne really fully knows. Like, a lot of people were pulling me apart and just kind of trying to hold me back from that whole situation. So I love Wayne. I still have a relationship with him and we cool, but I'm an independent artist.
Okay, awesome. That's dope.
How have you managed these two parallels, you know, television personality and music artist, being able to manage those two parallels, also having outside business interests as well? It seems to be a lot, but how are you managing all of these things?
It's a lot. It's actually, I mean, this year it's gotten a lot easier because now there's no touring. That was like my biggest struggle before. I've actually had to pass up like several great performances, tour opportunities, South by Southwest performances because of my filming schedule. Because with my contract with Ridiculousness, they're like my priority. So that gets a little complicated. Like, as an artist, obviously I want to be able to do tours and stuff, but I'm filming a lot. But this year, there's all the performances have been virtual. I've been able to literally do performances from home and just set up cool lighting here and shit. So it's been a lot easier this year because everything's so virtual. I don't know how it's going to be because now that my music's picking up, I don't know how it's going to be once we get back to being able to like actually perform and stuff. It might get a little more hectic to deal with both. But for the most part, it's always been, it's been pretty easy. Like, I like working. I'm the type of person, like, I need to stay busy. So, like, I'm just always busy, basically.
All right, that's good. That's good. So speaking of Ridiculousness, what makes it so successful across all sorts of age groups?
I really think it's because of the selection of videos. You know, we have like so many different videos. Like, there's videos that the little kids will like more. Like, kids seem to like when people are getting hurt and stuff like that. And then, like, you know, I feel like the adults like more the ones that are like, I mean, adults love like the drunk people clips.
They can relate to that.
Exactly. Everybody can relate to it. Like, we have so many different types of clips that you can relate to. So that's what makes it, you know, broad for like everybody. And also like us as hosts, you know, me, Sterling and Rob, like, I think that, we're diverse people too. And we all come with our own little fan bases. You know, I bring in a lot of females. Sterling, you know, he brings in a lot of his fan base. Rob brings in all these fucking skater kids or whatever. So I think that we all each bring in like our own little, you know, dynamic and fan base as well.
Right. My favorite videos is whenever anyone is getting hurt with fireworks. I think that's so hilarious.
No, I know. It's like, you know what's going to happen. Like,
right. Like, why are you doing that?
Hey, Chanel, you got to holler at Rob, man. We got to get Pat P on the show.
Yeah, I got to get on the show.
You got to get Pat P on the show.
Because, you know, we haven't really had any guests this year because of
COVID.
Yeah. Like, when things get back normal, how about that?
Yes, when things go back to normal, I got you.
Yeah, no doubt. You know what? Episode, 346 featured the late, great Kobe Bryant. And Kobe Bryant's my favorite basketball player. Same for Pat P. But how special was that show? And what do you remember about sharing the stage with Kobe? Like, leading into that episode, or did you get the opportunity to talk to Kobe, or do you have any special memory regarding that episode? But talking about that show and seeing exactly what happened some months ago, you know, how special was that moment?
It was so special, especially because I was sick when we filmed the episode with Kobe. I was getting over strep throat.
Yeah.
And at first they were like, they were basically like, you know, we don't want to risk Kobe's health. I was like, he probably has the immunity of an ox. What are you talking about? I was like, I'm not going to get him sick. He's probably drinking like, you know, fitness shakes every day. Like, right. I was like, he's fine. But so I had to get a doctor's note and my doctor was like, no, it's fine. You've been taking your medicine. So I was so thankful because at first they were like, you're not going to be able to do it. And I was like, are you kidding me? I'm from LA. Like the Lakers are LA and you're going to tell me I can't be there. Like I was like about to lose it. So it was great to meet him. Like you could just feel his presence of what a good person he was. Like that's, I'm a big energy reader. Like I can literally, I don't like to say I'm psychic, but I could feel people's energy and like what type of person they are. And like you could sense, first of all, he wanted the whole episode to be about his new children's book. So I was like, that is such a cute, sweet thing. Like he literally wanted the whole episode to be circled and centered around that and promoting that only. And so like we pretty much, the whole episode was about talking about his book. And I thought that was just so sweet that like he wanted it to be all about like the children and presenting this message to the kids, you know?
That's awesome.
Yeah. It was like, I don't want to get teary eyed because it's like, you know, I am from LA, like the Lakers is everything. And it was just, it was an honor to meet him because it was like, we filmed that like, you know, right before he passed away.
So. Really? So. Yeah. Cause he passed in January. Yeah. So you guys filmed that and it was in December.
It was in like November or something.
November. Wow. That's
how many shows you guys tape a day? Is it just like one a day? Cause I'm obviously, like I said, me being a fan, I always wanted to know how that process went.
So we used to do three a day, which
I would have won a bet. Cause I said that. I said they have to do multiple shows a day. There's no way they're just going in there doing one show and going home.
Well, sometimes you could tell because I usually wear the same hair for all three. So like if they put those episodes back to back, you'll be like, oh, that must have been all in the same day.
Right.
Now we do six episodes a day.
Damn.
Wow. Six.
Yeah. It's crazy. Ooh.
How long does it normally take to tape one?
It's fast. Honestly, we literally shoot it like it's like real time. What is on TV? Like,
really?
I feel like we shoot probably like an extra 10 minutes. And then that little bit of time extra is what they edit out for commercials.
So do you guys have any mess ups? Like, you know, can you retape something if you guys say the wrong thing or something goes wrong or everything is just kind of done live and no,
well, no now hiccups? We used to go more with like the flow because of the audience, but we haven't had an audience this year because of the pandemic. So I've noticed that they're like telling Rob, like, hey, can you redo that line? Da-da-da, like a little bit more, because I think now that there's not an audience, we can like fix a couple things.
Right.
But before, like sometimes, you know, like, me or Rob or Sterling, we like flub our words and like we just keep going. Like they're like, whatever.
Yeah. Well, would you guys filming over 500 episodes now?
500. Wow. That's 500.
What has allowed that run to continue for so long?
Honestly, I feel that, you know, especially with MTV, like MTV doesn't play music and stuff anymore. And I feel like next to music, everybody loves comedy. So it's like, especially for the MTV fan base, I think it really keeps MTV people like me. I've been watching MTV since I was a little girl, you know, like in the 90s, MTV was everything. So I think people really stay watching MTV, like because of our show, to be real, you know.
How long you think it'll keep going?
I don't know. I'm like, at this point, I'm like, I feel like I'm probably going to be like pregnant on the couch. Like, you know what I'm saying? I'm like, I'm literally going to be up there with a walker. Like, I don't know. Like,
when you look at some of the outstanding guests you guys have had on, you look at some of the football guests, real quick, short list, Melvin Ingram, LeSean McCoy, Gronkowski, Urlacher, Jarvis Landry. You got other personalities, Rampage Jackson, Floyd Mayweather, Dana White, Nate Robinson, Prince Fielder, Metal World Peace, Bubba Wallace. Man, you guys have had the who's of who on your show. Who, outside of Kobe, because I know Kobe is the your favorite guest. Outside of Kobe, who would you say was your favorite guest to have on the show?
Like a sports guest?
It could be any guest. It could be a sports guest. It could be a media personality and social media personality, anybody.
I would say, well, I always say Snoop was our favorite guest. Like, Snoop is so great.
Cause y'all can relate.
He's the only person, like, we've ever waited. Like, normally everybody's ready. Like, people know that Rob likes to, like, you know, move fast. And, like, Snoop is probably the only person we've ever waited for. Like, literally, like, waited forever. Or, like, he was just in his dressing room chilling, doing his thing. Like, I'm smoke and come out when I want, you know? he's so funny. So, like, I just, like, love being around Snoop. So, he was funny. But Floyd Mayweather, I think, was definitely another funny athlete guest. The funniest part was, so, Floyd's girlfriend at the time, she just came and sit on the couch next to me. And I'm like, I think, like, maybe they're confused. Like, I was like, this is where, like, we film, you know? And so Rob goes to tell Floyd, like, hey, you know, she can sit on the side of Floyd. Like, no, she's going to stay right there. And we're like,
wait a minute. So she stayed there the whole episode?
Yeah, she was on Mick Jackson.
She sat there the whole time.
Oh, Pat, you remember that? You remember that episode?
Yeah, that's when he pulled out $1 million on the backpack.
Yes, and then he had a backpack on him. And Rob goes, what's in the backpack? And we thought he was joking. He's like, $1 million. And we're like, ah, you're kidding. He's like, no, I'm serious. And he just starts dumping out $1 million cash. We're like,
wow. That's a dope episode, right? Because the unexpected happened, right?
Then he kept the money up there too the whole episode.
Yeah. It was on the floor?
I forgot where he put it at. I think he put it like on Stilo's DJ booth or something like that. The little turn.
Man, Pat, you're a big fan. You know the names and everybody.
Yeah, I watch the show, Chanel. I watch.
Man, you all the way dialed in, man. Listen, Pat, you got to get on there for the show when everything gets back to being normal.
Hey, I will be honored. Hey, so Chanel, we know you're a Laker fan.
Yep.
But we also heard that you are a Rams and a Patriots fan.
Yeah.
So who were you rooting for in the Super Bowl a couple years ago?
Oh, man. I can't even answer that. I can't answer it because
yes, you can. Yes, you can.
No, I can't because I literally, like, you don't understand. First of all, the Rams, like, they show me so much hometown love. They send me custom jerseys saying West Coast, you know, so I love the Rams. They show me love. They let me come to a bunch of games.
Yeah.
But I also have, like, friends and stuff that are affiliated with the Patriots. So I don't want to.
I got you. Yeah, she can't do it.
I'm gonna
give you a pass on that one, Chanel.
Okay.
But regardless of who you were rooting for, Chanel, you won because one thing you know about that game, your favorite team was gonna win.
Right. You was a winner regardless.
You was a winner regardless. Yeah, it didn't even matter. Yo, Chanel, so is there a specific show clip moment, that people mention to you online or if they see you out in public?
There's two.
Okay.
And they're just equally brought up to me as much. The time on Fantasy Factory when I got hit with a dodgeball.
Knocked your tooth out.
Lost a tooth?
It chipped a tooth.
Well, now I got veneers, so we got new teeth now, so it's all good. and then the time when I got into an argument with Charlamagne.
Oh, that was hilarious. I'm not even going to lie.
Hold on. For us who don't know what you're talking about, you know, Pat is a big time fan.
Oh, man, I know exactly what she's talking about.
Can you fill us in on the argument, Chanel?
Okay, so basically this is what happened. So randomly, before he came on our show, one day I'm on Twitter and I see people like in my, you know, in my ads, like talking shit, being like, oh, Charlamagne's right. Like Chanel's whack or something. I said, what the fuck? And I liked him before that. I thought he was mad funny. I always, like, kind of respected his opinions. And then I was like, hold up. What the fuck is he talking about? So apparently he, like, randomly, like, mentioned me one time. I don't know if it was on The Breakfast Club or, like, tweeted about me. But he said I was whack in his opinion, I guess. And so when he came on the show, I was already kind of, like, a little bitter, I guess you could say. Like, oh, I have to sit next to this guy and, like, act like I, like, fuck with him knowing that he, like, talked shit on me. And so something came up in the episode where it was about
Artist.
About no, it was about him like being like very opinionated or something. I go, well, just because it's your opinion, don't make it a fact. And that's
just like that.
I said it just like that, and that's when the argument kind of started. And I think that because, you know, and it's not just Charlamagne, a lot of people kind of prejudge me. I am on shows where I'm always laughing, smiling, very sweet. I am a tough girl, though. I have been through a lot of shit, and I am not that bitch. So I was like, I am not about to just let this guy, like, basically degrade me. And I'm the only woman on stage with three men being made fun of. So that's when I felt I just had to stand up for myself and really, like, hit him with some facts. So I did, and then the moment kind of went viral, I guess you could say.
Now, you did held your own, and you definitely stood. You had your back for sure. I was like, get him, Chanel. Hell yeah.
The West Coast came out, right?
Hey. Well, yeah, some people would say, cause my dad's from the East Coast, and a lot of people were hitting me up that day, like, oh, that's the New Yorker. Like, all my New York fans were, like, claiming that was the East Coast in me. Right. So.
Are you in Charlamagne? Y'all cool now?
Oh, yeah. Like, literally right after the episode, he was like, you're crazy. You should come on Breakfast Club. I'm like, so
that's what's up. Mutual respect.
He loves to, like, you know, pick at people. Like, he loves that shit.
No doubt about it, but that was a good episode. That was a good episode.
Thank you.
So, Chanel, is there anything you want to get out there to our viewers, your listeners, that you got up and coming and got going on right now?
Definitely. I just want everybody to go listen to the album. It's 19 songs. It's a long album. I'm sure there's a little bit of something everybody can, you know, get into on there. Maybe you like rap a little bit more, singing a little bit more. There's a song for kind of everybody. Mm-hmm. And go check out my new merch drops. I just dropped a bunch of dope new merch to go along with the album. We got cute bucket hats, hoodies, t-shirts.
Where can they find the merchandise?
Yes. Got lots of cute stuff. So you got to go check it out on my website, iamchanelwestcoast.com.
Okay. And also, too, you said the album is streaming everywhere, so you can easily find it. Yes, Pat is already raving about the album. Listeners, viewers, nice. He said... It got some go-getters on it. You know what I mean? So, and you know what, Pat? You know what I think you should do, because I know you're a big fan of Chanel. You guys, who you guys got this week? You got Buffalo this week, right?
Yeah.
You got Buffalo this week. So, you know what? I know you guys were listening at 21 Savage. What you say, run, right?
Yeah, running.
Running. You might need to put that 40-yard dash. You might need to bump that 40-yard dash in the locker room. You feel me?
I am going to bump that 40-yard dash after we win, because the locker room is much more live after a dub.
Oh, yeah. Y'all boys, y'all had like a little mini club in the locker room after y'all win.
Yeah. It'll be better after we win, for sure.
Okay.
40-yard dash. That's what's up.
40-yard dash. Well, we would like to thank Chanel West Coast for coming out on the show. Make sure you go watch Ridiculousness and go get that album, America's
Sweetheart. And the merchandise.
It's streaming everywhere. ChanelWestCoast.com for the merch. Go get the album, America's Sweetheart. It's everywhere. Thank you, Chanel, for coming on the show.
Appreciate it. Thanks for having me. And I'm very happy you're a big fan. I'm going to shout you out on an episode.
Let's do it. Let's do it.
No doubt.
Yes, ma'am.
All right.
We appreciate it, Chanel.
Thank you, guys.
No problem.
On May 23rd.
I want to go back to normal.
What's normal?
The Paramount Plus original series, Evil, returns.
We've already hunted werewolves and demons.
And now what? A baby antichrist?
Okie dokie.
Prepare yourself.
You will not beat us.
For the end.
I have visions of hell.
Make it stop. Make it shut up.
You're not gonna survive this.
Evil, the final season. Streaming May 23rd. Only on Paramount Plus.